Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
There is so much that's happening in our world right now, globally and both nationally. As you look at the news, we have become so aware of the pain and the hurt that has been caused through this whole thing called racism. The tragic death of George Floyd and subsequently the actions that have been taken by the police force, the actions that have been taken by public as they've demonstrated both peacefully and unfortunately some have gone violent. It's made us aware that there's a conversation that has to be had. I've thought long and hard about this. I pastor this church here in Peterhead, and I thought to myself, well, you know, people that attend Apex Church, are they racist? And I thought, well, of course they're not. They attend a church that has a black pastor. But I'm aware that there are a number of people in our congregation that have maybe experienced racism. And I thought, what do we do? Do we just think of this subject as something that has happened across the world in another nation, then we just sit back and we ignore it? Or have we got to be real and say we need an honest, transparent conversation that racism is not of God? Can I say very clearly, racism is sin. It is not of God. It does not come from God. I was adopted when I was 11 months old. Most of you know my story. Maybe you don't. Adopted into a white family. I have found nothing but love and acceptance. And I must be very true here in my community, Peterhead, growing up all my life, that I have just found home. Haven't really experienced much in regard to racism in our community. I want to say that I have found acceptance, maybe at times acceptance through association, but folk have seen no different with me. I'm just one of the local guys. But we can't sit back and say, well, that's okay, because we've got to be aware that there's a bigger story that is being told right now. So I thought that it would be important that we just consider this whole subject. And God began to speak to my heart from that scripture that just simply says, consider your ways. And for us as a local church and those that are listening to my voice right now, it is just so important that we do consider our ways, that we ask God to search our hearts. I have no doubt at all, that the Bible is so clear when it tells us in Genesis 1:27 that we are all created in the image and likeness of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, regardless of the color of your skin. We have been created in the image of God. And the truth of the matter is this, that God loves every single one of us unconditionally. Doesn't matter where you come from, where you've been, what you've done, we find acceptance in the presence of God. When we come before Him seeking that relationship, that there are things in our life, if there are things in our life that cause a barrier between God and man, that we come and the Bible talks, uses a word called repentance, that we ask God to forgive us of sin. The gospel is for every single person in this world. But the challenge is that not everyone sees it that way. So we're going to have this great conversation today and just ask God to speak into our hearts. And I would ask you, please don't switch off. Please don't say, well, this has nothing to do for me. I will get nothing out of this, because I think every day is a learning day, a school day, and we can learn something. I used this story or this illustration a couple of weeks ago. I really want to go there again, that when I was a small boy, I was in my father's arms. We were in the market in Aberdeen. I was just a little toot. And my dad engaged in conversation with a black man. And I lifted up my finger and I put it down his face. And I looked at my finger to see if the color of his skin came off onto my finger. Here's the truth of the matter. He laughed. He knew exactly what was going on in this little kid's head. But so many of us, it's amazing what we can see in others that we can't see in ourselves. So I think this is going to be very helpful. But we want to undergird this with scripture and clarity that we are all created in the image and likeness of God.
What a privilege it is to be created in His image. But as believers, we also have the privilege that we have been brought into the kingdom of God. In the New Testament, we hear different metaphors used to describe the collective people of God. We hear of the family of God, the body of Christ, but Jesus primarily used in the Gospels the term the kingdom of God. At the start of his public ministry, Jesus announces his life message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." At that point, Jesus established the kingdom of God here on earth. And throughout his earthly ministry, he demonstrated the kingdom of God as he performed miracles and healings. He described and taught about what the kingdom of God is like in the parables that he told. He outlined who and how we may enter the kingdom of God and described how people who belong to that kingdom should live their lives. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is King, and we are brought into His kingdom when we put our faith in Jesus, but also when we surrender and submit our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are people of the kingdom of God, and now we live under His rule. After His time of testing in the wilderness, Jesus returns to Galilee empowered by the Holy Spirit. And He returns to the synagogue that He grew up in. And surrounded by the people who knew Him best, He stands up and He takes out the scroll and opens it to the prophet Isaiah and declares these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. He began saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus' words would have shocked the people who were listening to Him at that point. And right then, He declared His kingdom manifesto. Jesus came to bring freedom, liberty, and equality for all people. His kingdom is a global kingdom. It is diverse. It is a kaleidoscope of people from all over the world. In His kingdom, injustice and prejudice has no place. In fact, diversity is celebrated. As you look around our world and we think about the many different people who we know are in parts of the world, are part of the kingdom of God, it's an incredible thought that every creed, every color, every tribe is represented in His kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5-7, we read probably Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And at this point, He describes what the behaviors for people who are part of the kingdom of God should be like. He explains to them what your life should look like if you belong to the kingdom of God. He outlines to them the kingdom values. He explains to them that the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are merciful, blessed are the peacemakers. He tells us about things like, it's good enough, not good enough just to love those that are your friends, but you should love your enemies. He tells us to turn the other cheek, to go the extra mile. He also tells us that if you apply these teachings to your life, you will be like someone who has built their home on a strong foundation. And when the storms and challenges of life come, your house will stand still and be strong. Jesus, though, underlines the most important thing, the importance of the condition of your heart. He explains to them that outward actions are not as important as first and formally what is happening on in your heart. Jesus established the kingdom of God here on earth at the start of his ministry. And at this moment and now, we see glimpses and pockets of the kingdom of God in our, when we see healings and when we see God break through and we see a reflection of God's kingdom in our world. But he promised that when he returns, he will fully establish his kingdom here on earth. In John's revelation of heaven, he saw this vision of a diverse people of God worshiping Jesus. In Revelation chapter 7, he says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Until that moment when we see his kingdom fully established, we are to live out the kingdom behaviors, to shape our lives with the kingdom values. And at that point, when Jesus returns, he will make every wrong right. And as Amos spoke of, justice will flow like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. But until then, we pray the Lord's Prayer: "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
I want to begin by quoting from that verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16, one of my favorite verses and probably one of the best and most well-known Bible verses. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And that verse just tells us so beautifully how God's love is for the whole world. Regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of how much money we have in the bank, regardless of where we grew up, where we were born, God loves each and every one of us unconditionally. And he loved us so much that he didn't just tell us how much he loved us, but God demonstrated and he gave us his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That same Lord Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, that Jesus Christ is our peace. Okay, God didn't just want to give us peace. Jesus himself is peace, and he becomes our peace. He has made two groups of people one and broken down and destroyed that barrier. You see, the Bible tells us that there was enmity between Jews and those that were non-Jews. Describes them as Gentiles, okay? So we would probably fall into that category. But you know, through Christ, God was able to reconcile himself to man, or man to himself, through bringing those two groups together. He's broken down that dividing wall of hostility. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 and verse 28 that there is neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. That's beautiful. God takes people from various corners of the world, but brings them all together in one, in his Son. I love when Jesus had encounters. We read about in the Gospels, he had encounters with the religious people of his time. We read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And there's an account given in Matthew chapter 12, where the Pharisees are asking Jesus various questions about the law and really just trying to trip him up. But listen to what Jesus says. He's quite strong. He uses quite strong words. He calls them, "You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good?" He says this, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And what that tells me is, and Dan alluded to it earlier, God is not concerned so much with what goes on outwardly, but God wants to get to the root of the matter. It's about the condition of a person's heart. That is God's real concern. You see, the religious people in Jesus' time, they were so caught up with what was being done outwardly, but Jesus was bringing the focus to what was going on within them inwardly. Jesus went on to say that a good man brings good things out of the good that is stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil out of the evil that is stored up in him. So what are you saying essentially there? If what is within you is good, that is going to manifest outwardly. He says you'll know a tree by its fruit. Let's face it, if you and I were to go to an apple tree, we wouldn't expect to find oranges. We would expect to find apples. Whatever seed is sown in the ground, that's the tree and that is the fruit that is produced. So Jesus said that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every single word that I've spoken. That concerns me. I don't know about you, but I've maybe said things in my life that I'm not proud of. Maybe you have too. We'll have to give an account for every word that we've spoken. But you know what? We must remind ourselves, if what is within us is good, what will come out, okay, will be good fruit and it will be pleasing to God. Jesus said, by your words you will be acquitted and by your words you will be condemned.
I found this quote which I love. Dr. Martin Luther King said these words, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Those words were spoken almost 57 years ago. I was 1 and a half when Martin Luther King spoke these words, the March on Washington. And that's why we thought that it was so important that, number one, that we make very clear that we are against racism and prejudice in any form. But we wanted to make sure that we undergird that from God's word so that you are very clear that this is not our opinion, but this is what God has to say. So I think it would be great if we had a little bit of discussion on this because it's a very serious subject.
Yeah.
Once again, a subject that perhaps up here in the Northeast that people think, well, it's not so important. So let's have a chat. Let's have a bit of a conversation.
Well, Great. Guys, I'd love to hear your experiences growing up in Peterhead in this local area, but also your life experience. If you encountered any forms of racism or any prejudice growing up here or in your life's experience over the years, maybe Neil, can we start with you?
Sure. I would say to you, Daniel, so when I was at school, primary school, St. Peter's Episcopal, I was the only black kid at school. And then when I went up to Peterhead Academy, I think there was two other people of colour that was there. It was great, but I mean, you couldn't misbehave and blame someone else. That was the only problem. You know, you couldn't say, well, they just look like me, you know, mistaken identity. But I would have to say, growing up in Peterhead, very little. Didn't really realise the difference or the prejudice to the degree until I started traveling with my brother Philip when I was 17 in the States. I was his bass player. Traveled a lot down south, the southern states. We had an office in Montgomery, Alabama. That's where we were based. I've been on the Selma Bridge,
Wow. Seen
all that, walked the Selma Bridge.
Wow.
I should say where Dr. Martin Luther King walked is there as well. And I remember, Dan, Lee, one of the stories, and I don't know about you, Lee, but what I found that over these last couple of weeks, there are so many things have come back to memory that I didn't really think was there, but it's almost like had highlighted again. And I remember the first trip I was on, Dan, Philip and his team had already traveled. I was now joining them, my first trip. And we had posters that we sent out to the churches prior to that. This was a church that Philip had already been at many occasions. So now the poster arrives and there's a black guy that's in the team as well. The church did not know who I was. So the elders of the church came to the pastor there and they asked, who's this black guy? And the pastor, who subsequently is still a lifelong friend, he explained to them, he is Neil Cameron. He's the adopted brother of Philip. Oh, that's great. Unbeknown to the pastor, they went away and had a board meeting. And they had a meeting to decide whether they would be accepting of a black guy coming into their church. And they came back and they're all excited and smiles. And they said to the pastor, oh, good news. We've just had this meeting. And yes, we're going to accept this black guy in. The pastor was furious. He was absolutely, you know, he was delighted, but he was furious that this was even going on in their head. And my brother and the family, they protected me from that. Sure. But subsequently, as I become more aware of that, as I traveled, it was amazing because a lot of times I would be in a church, we would be singing, there could be 500, there could be 1,000 people, and sometimes I'd be the only black person there. And the thing that began to challenge me is I would look down at people, Lee, Daniel, that had hands in the air, that were singing praises to God with their mouth, but in their heart, you just knew there was something different going on. So yeah, there's been a few experiences. Lee, I don't know if you've had anything similar.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I didn't grow up in Peterhead, Neil. I grew up in multicultural Birmingham, down in England. It's funny because, like you said then, you think, oh no, there hasn't been any sort of, you know, racism. But then when you thought about things, you thought, well, hold on, there's a little bit of prejudice, you know, possibly shown there. So a great example that I can give, I was working for a company and gone on really, really well in the workplace. And there was a person that was a supervisor. And, you know, loved me as a person. We could quite happily, you know, sort of speak and work together and that. And I can't remember what the exact conversation was, but I remember one day he sort of took me aside and he said to me, he says, yeah, Lee, he says, you know what? He says, if my daughter brought you home, okay, to our house, I wouldn't be very happy with that. So I'm like, all right, okay. This was a guy that I thought, you know, I got on really well with, you know, had a good working relationship. So I kind of prodded a little bit deeper. I said, why is that? And he said, well, he says, you're black. And, you know, he says, I just wouldn't be very happy with that. So I thought, oh, man, that's really harsh. But then he kind of unpacked it a little bit further. By this time, I'm just kind of shaking my head in disbelief. But he couldn't live with the thought that if I married his daughter and we had children, that those children would be mixed race and he would be furthering black children into the world.
Wow.
I found that really, really hard, you know, and needless to say, it was difficult for me to see that person in the same light afterwards. I respected that was his view on things, but that was really hurtful. Mm. You know, as much as he appreciated me as an individual, that was an issue.
Yeah.
That my color, the color of my skin was an issue. And for me, that's a heart thing.
Yeah.
That's a heart thing.
I think what I'm seeing and hearing over these last couple of weeks, guys, is obviously the challenge of what's happened in the States.
Yeah.
But what I would say is I've noticed up here in the Northeast, it's more subtle. Mm-hmm. It's not so in your face.
Yeah.
It's more little subtle things. And you don't really notice it because we're not looking for it, because I know yourself, Lee, myself, you know, I don't look through the filter of looking to play the race card.
No.
So it's the little subtle things that go on. I mean, the funniest thing, guys, you know, when I go down like to London, mm-hmm. I become more aware of my blackness there because the times I've gone into a store and suddenly the security guard is following you around the store and you're like, what? Because I've never experienced that in Peterhead, you know, because it's a small town and people know you. But you suddenly go places and security guards are following you around and you know that you know immigration.
Yeah.
You know, when we used to travel a lot to Romania, every single time when we would be going through certain borders, you know, there could be a car full of people, there could be a busload, but they would ask to see my passport.
Wow.
Yeah. And once again, it's the little things like that. You just go, what is that about?
Yeah. I think already, though, this has been a good lesson for us because we've heard experiences. We've listened to your experience. I wasn't aware of either of the stories that you guys both shared just now. And I think that's really helpful for us to understand other people's experiences. And I think for me, this whole discussion over these last couple of weeks has really brought to the surface and helped me to understand how other people feel, other people's experiences. Something I would ask you both as fathers, you've children in their teenage years and a bit younger. Neil, you've a son who lives in London. You've one here in Peterhead. Have you guys ever felt concerned or fearful for your children and what they may have experienced in our community or in the big city in London?
Here in Peterhead, no. Once again, nothing more than someone of white skin would experience. I felt very comfortable here in this community because we've grown up here. I would say more so, Chris, he's in London. And yeah, I would be concerned, so I'm always checking up on him. Are you home? Everything okay? How's things going? Everything good in your world? Because Chris would be darker skin colour than Neil would be. Neil would be slightly lighter. Those that don't know, my wife is white. And there's this whole thing with Chris. It's interesting because where does he identify? Does he identify with the black culture? Does he identify with the white culture? Well, he's been brought up in a white world in that sense, with a black father. And I do know he enjoys the fact that he takes on a great suntan. I would say that. But more so, I would say, to answer your question, Daniel, it's more so Chris down in London I would be more concerned for than Neil up here.
I would say with my children, and it's funny, and maybe this is just another way we can look at prejudice as well, but it's still prejudice. I remember a number of years ago, my father bought an England football strip for Judah, my oldest boy. Now, he didn't see anything wrong with that, quite innocently, picked it up, even had Judah's name on the back and that. And of course, Christina, my wife, who is white, we just basically thought, oh no, we're really just not comfortable. You know, we're okay with it, but what would other people think? And Scott, and we know that obviously there's sometimes some of the issues over football, of all things. But yeah, that was an issue for us because we didn't want Judah to be singled out, not because of the color of his skin, but the fact that he was wearing an English football strip.
So that's another perspective.
That's another perspective,
Because racism is not just restricted to the colour of skin.
No.
It can be people's nationalities or something that's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, but it's not just something that's happening in our community or our nation. It's also impacting the church world as well, Neil. You've been involved in giving wisdom and speaking into some different churches in these last couple of weeks. Could you share us a little bit of your experience?
Yeah, I've had numerous long Zoom calls, phone calls, conversation. I've had some dear, dear friends that have actually called to say, Neil, how are you doing with this whole thing? And what I would say very clearly is I am on a journey. You know, this conversation is about we're on a journey. We want to listen, we want to learn, and we want to love. And that's my story. I want to learn more. So there has been some conversations with some black friends, with some dear, dear white friends, and hearing their perspective, but they've been asking me the question again, you know, what is it like in your church world? What have you experienced? I've been able to share some of my stories. And it comes back to what we said at the very beginning. We've all been created in the image of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
They tell me that the most segregated hour in the States is 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Where we have, you know, white churches, we have black churches, and very few mixed. And it's shameful in that sense. Now, I understand that we can say, well, it's down to different cultures. But as you said so wonderfully, Dan, this is about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So it's been great because some of my dear friends, especially down in the cities, they have just been amazed. They were not aware the hurt that has been caused because of what some of the black community has faced, that they've just all their life experienced, so they've just pushed it down. So even when they've come into the church world, if something has been said or if they've been overlooked, they've just gone, well, this is just the way it is, and we just forgive and we just move on because we've done that all our life. And my white friends dearly have just said, we are shocked at how little we realized that some of our black congregation that we've known and loved for many, many years have felt in certain areas that they were excluded and not included.
My. Well, and I guess one of the most famous parables that Jesus taught on was the parable of the Good Samaritan, which surely is the lesson that as a church we all need to be paying attention to. Of course, I'm sure many people are familiar that there was the man was left at the side of the road after being robbed, and He had been left to die. And the Levite and the priest came past and they ignored him. They walked on the other side of the road and went on their lives. But the Samaritan, who would have been an enemy, took the time to care for and to help the person who was lying at the side of the road. And in our situation right now, we need to be careful that we take time to stop, to listen, and also to help and to care. We can't just get the information and do nothing about it. I think it's important that James tells us that faith without action is dead. And it's important that we listen and understand, but also that we stand up and we do speak out for people who are experiencing oppression at this time. But I guess the New Testament speaks a lot about this, doesn't it, Lee?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. When I was thinking about this, reminded of what James says, James chapter 2. Basically, just to give a little bit of context, he speaks about, you know, as believers in the Lord, we shouldn't be showing any sort of partiality. And he gives a classic example. Somebody comes into church, maybe wearing quite fine clothes, you know, looking the part. And we say to them, hey, come on up, you know, take a good seat, you know, have the best place, best seat in the house. And then somebody else comes in and they're maybe not dressed so well. They maybe smell a little bit, maybe look a bit worse for wear. And we say to them, hey, hold on, you can stay at the back. You know, you can stay in the reception area. You know, have we not become judges in that context? You know, so it's very, very, you know, very, very important that we do not discriminate against people. You know, the dictionary, I looked this up, the Cambridge Dictionary describes discrimination as the unjust or prejudicial treatment of different categories of people, especially on the grounds of race, age, or sex. But you know, we can even do it unknowingly. Somebody that seems a little bit better off, somebody that seems a little bit poorer, you know, judging in that way, the Bible says we shouldn't do it. You know, God shows mercy towards us. We should be willing to show mercy and acceptance towards others. That is the biblical way of doing things.
As a little black boy walked out his school gate, there was a smile on his face as he looked and he saw balloons up in the sky. There was a red balloon, a yellow balloon, a white balloon. You see, the balloon seller was very clever. He knew that if he could get their attention, they would want to come and buy his balloons. The little boy looked, and then sadness was etched on his face as he walked across and he pulled on the hand of the balloon seller. He looked down into the face of this little black boy, and the little black boy said, "Can I ask you a question, sir?" "Of course," he said. He said, "Would a red balloon, a yellow balloon, a white balloon that flies so high, what about a black balloon? Would that fly as high as the others?" The balloon seller looked down and continued with tears in his eyes. He said, "Son, it's not the color of the balloon that makes it soar in the sky. It's what's inside that makes the difference." And you see, the truth of the matter is this, that regardless of the color of our skin, God has put within us life. And the Bible describes it as life abundantly. The color of our skin is no restriction on how high we can soar or how far we can go in life. Yes, maybe society has put restrictions in place. But I want to say to you today that God loves you very much. And God wants a relationship with you. And the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the world but loses his soul? You can achieve everything in life but not have peace with God. You see, everything we've been discussing in regard to this whole area of racism, which is abhorrent, which I think is a sad blight on society as we look at what is happening and we recognize this is not good. But I want to say to you, there is also this issue called sin. And when we don't have our relationship with God, when we don't walk with Him, this can eat away at us and destroy us. Yes, you can have things, you can have stuff, you can have success, you can have power, you can have authority. But the most important thing that we must have in our life is peace with God. This is the good news of the gospel. The gospel just simply means good news. And it is good news. It is good news for every single one of us. And I would want to say to you today, in the midst of all our conversation, discussion that we've had, the most important thing is this. We need a relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with Him, here's the truth. He is just a prayer away. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. The Bible says that God sent His Son into this world not to condemn it. No, not to condemn us. I love that. He's not here to condemn us, to push us down. He's here to give us life, to help us to move forward. I would love to pray with you. I love the fact that I get to serve Jesus Christ as my Lord. You need Him as your Savior. Let me pray with you right now. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Him, or maybe your life is not right with Him. This is your opportunity right now to get to that place that I commit my life to Him. Dear Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that in the midst of this discussion, that I need a relationship with You. Would You come into my heart? Would You forgive me of my sin? Would You become my Lord? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.